Morning. When I was in sixth grade, I got in a fight. It's the only fight I ever got in, the real warrior that I am. It started in the cafeteria with a guy named Ernie. I don't know what escalated the fight, because I liked Ernie. So I don't remember exactly what happened, but we got mad at each other. And we, like tough guys, we were in sixth grade, decided that we would meet an hour after school at a certain place. And we would have a fight. My biggest problem, I don't know what he was thinking, was that already there were people around us watching what was happening, and the chant was already starting, fight, 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 fight. You remember that from school, right? So I knew I had to show up. I was thinking at first maybe I would, you know, kind of just sneak home, and the next day say, oh, I forgot we were supposed to fight. I forgot. But sure enough, we showed up. We knew we had to show up. And the side of a highway, there was a big field. It was kind of muddy and kind of yucky. And we got ready to fight. Now, I didn't really want to be there. I didn't like fights. I'd seen them, and I did not want to get bloody at all. That was kind of like a goal of mine. And I found soon that I was pretty sure Ernie felt the same way, because we basically circled each other for a while. Now, for a while, I think you're supposed to do that if you're a good fighter, because you're like sizing up your opponent. But if you do it 20 or 30 times, it indicates you probably aren't interested in true fisticuffs. Well, problem was, there was a group of people, kids, that had gathered around, and they started kind of getting on us, like, fight, fight, you know, like, don't be chicken. For me, I'd rather be called chicken than have a broken nose, but I could tell it got to Ernie. Some of the jeering was getting to Ernie, and he started thinking, I'm going to get serious about this. No punches were landed at this point. I'm not sure any were swung, but I could see in his eyes he was ready to fight. So I went after him with everything and just grabbed him and knocked him on the ground and jumped on top of him. As you can imagine, I was bigger than him. And so what we did then was basically we wrestled. We rolled around in the mud, really trying to get superiority for a long time. But it was a long time, and it was muddy. And I got kind of sick of it. And so I gave up. I said, I'm done. I give up. Not my greatest moment, I realize that, but I was bored. Plus, everybody knew I could have taken him if I really wanted to anyhow. So, believe it or not, my little story with Ernie and my conflict with Ernie represents, to some degree, the story out of God's Word this morning. We are finishing a series. We're finishing the Upside Down series, Living series. We're finishing the 8 statements called Beatitudes that Jesus gave at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mountain. Such important statements. We've been studying them for some time now, and we're finishing up with that. And so I want to read for you the end of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you because you... I'm sorry. Blessed are... You think I could read by now. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus is speaking, of course, here. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, when I have read this over the years, I admit that I have been a little bit confused because this beatitude, the last one, is different from all the others. All of the others were basically a short, pithy little statement on one topic, such as, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Boom, done. But in this case, we have a different situation. Twice the idea of being persecuted is brought up. And in the second case, there's actually some commentary. There's some detail that is given, which is nowhere else given in any of the other Beatitudes. At first I thought, well, okay, Jesus talks about being persecuted twice so that he might be able to kind of emphasize the point. But as I studied it, I realized that's not what was going on. Before I unpack, however, for you why there are two statements, why there are two different discussions about being persecuted, I want to give you my anchor statement, which by now you know I like to give you one statement to take home, because usually people can only take about one thing home. So here it is. The inner struggle leads to external glory. The inner struggle leads to external glory. Starting point, verse 10. The first time he talks, Jesus talks about persecution. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a little bit different. And all the others, all the other beatitudes that are given, there is a promise of a blessing if you live a certain prescribed way, okay? "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy," okay? This is a little different. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," okay? It's similar. All of the others follow this paradigm of, I am going, you know, if I act the way Jesus tells me to act, which is really saying act as I do, be like me, then you will receive this blessing. Until now. Now, things are changing. This is not the same as the others. So I want you to stay with me as I try to explain this to you. This list does not contain all of the Christian life, obviously. It's a short list. And yet, I believe these actions and these attitudes are core to the Christ life. These attitudes and these actions, if you begin to get them down in your life, if they begin to take hold of your life, you and those around you are going to begin to sense that things in life are changing, that you are not the same person you used to be. Using the terminology of the series, you're beginning to rotate. You're rotating from being upside down to right side up. Okay? These beatitudes, these attitudes, these actions, which really flow out of Christ and who he is. Verse 10, then, is an assumption that these things are sinking in. There is an assumption that there are some in the crowd. He knows everybody in the crowd is not in the same place. Certainly his disciples, those who would be sitting right around here, and other disciples that are in the crowd, it's beginning to say these things he's been talking about, wanting righteousness and wanting to be merciful and wanting to be pure of heart and a peacemaker, though the world is completely upside down from that. And as a side, the church can be upside down from that as well. These things are beginning to take hold in you. But remember, the inner struggle is what brings external glory. The idea of persecution in verse 10 is a twist. It's a surprise. I like movies with a twist, a surprise in it. And there's a twist and a surprise here. It's not what you think. It's a little bit more like Ernie and Doug. Though there was no bloodshed, don't be mistaken. We were serious once we started rolling around in the mud. We were holding on for dear life because we wanted to at least win the wrestling match. I mean, we didn't want to lose. We didn't want to look like pathetic weaklings. So the persecution, verse 10, is not someone making fun from the outside of us. Outside, you're a Christian, you're righteous, so I am persecuting you. Jesus saying is, you know the way, okay? I have been teaching you the way. The question is, are you assimilating it enough that it will cause you to win the way? Just because you know it does not mean you will win it. Okay, once again, Jesus has been talking about these beautiful concepts of peace and mercy and grace and humility, and they're radical. And some of the people are beginning to go, oh, I like this stuff, and I want to be part of this stuff. And, you know, hopefully his disciples especially are going, I'm on board, baby. I'm with you, Jesus. The question is, just because you know it does not mean you'll win it. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not just giving you a lecture on ethics. I'm talking to you about how life has changed. In the middle of this hellish, destructive, deceptive, broken, depraved place, will the light of the kingdom still shine in you? Not just I know about it, but it's now taking hold of me. Will the way of Christ still reign in you? Or will you continue to live out of the lower part of you, called the flesh in the Bible, which basically replicates this place in which we live? You see, the battle is not from the outside. We tend to think it's from the outside. We look at the outside and say, look how bad things are. But the reason things are bad on the outside is because they are bad on our inside. And that includes everybody ever since Adam. You might say, well, don't say that about me. I'm not part of the badness of this earth, the depravity and horribleness. Well, yes, you are. And it might be just a little smidget for some. For some, it might be a big hunk. I don't know. But what's really going on, the problem is inside. It is not outside. The outside is a result of the inside of the human condition. The inner struggle leads to external glory. That's where we have to look. Again, it's pretty clear that we usually think the persecution comes from the outside, and it does, and that's the second part of what Jesus is talking about. People don't like righteousness a lot of time. Mercy instead of vengeance, people don't like that sometimes. Peacemaking versus revenge seekers. Have you ever noticed how many revenge-based movies there are out there? It's one of the main plots. Maybe there's no plot more popular because it's so emotional. I love those kind of movies. It's when, you know, there's a good person and one of their loved ones either gets kidnapped or badly damaged or killed, And then the good person, the righteous person, goes after the bad guy. The outlaw Josie Wales, those who are older, with Clint Eastwood, that was a good example of that genre. And so the good guy with righteous indignation gets the bad guy. I've been in theaters where that kind of idea was so well presented, people cheered at the end. Yeah, they got the bad guy. Problem is, in reality, that's upside down thinking. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. The world doesn't really like it when we act righteous in many cases. So yes, there is external persecution, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But the real issue is that it all started from the inside. Blessed are the merciful. It's an inside thing. In fact, in Galatians, we're told that there is a war being mobilized between two forces inside of us. And that's the real issue, the flesh against the spirit. So there is a persecution that goes on, which I believe God allows to go on the inside so that we might be changed. And in verse 10, we're talking, like I said, more about Doug and Ernie, or the proverbial demon on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder going at it for superiority. This is the message of the Sermon on the Mount, that Christ is making us new, different, and odd, really, to the world. This past week, I met a world-class hiker. He's hiked the world, literally, and we got to joking around talking about hiking and different things, and we talked about hiking in bear country. He said, if you're leading a group and you're hiking in bear country, just make sure someone in the group is slow. Come on, that's funny. Jeez. There is it's bear country inside of us. That's just reality. The glory of Christ in us that we have been studying, you've been studying now and reading in your Bible and heard people come up here and pray beautiful prayers about the Beatitudes, which is, the righteousness of Christ, the beauty and the glory of Christ. All of that is facing defeat every single day, every single moment. There's persecution against Christ in you. There's voices in you all the time saying, are you crazy? What are you, nuts? You want me to be merciful? Did you see what the guy said to me? Did you see how he cut me off? I'm supposed to be merciful to Mr. Electric Lexus over there? Persecution internally. But it's also true that it all can be ours. And when I say that, I'm not saying no about it. Because now you already know about it. All you have to do is go to a sermon and pay decent attention and you'll know about it. Then you can take another level and say, not only do I know about it, but I'm a little stirred by it. And I think it's a good thing. But you can go beyond that and have it. The very source of all the beauty that we've been talking about that makes us people of change and glory, the very source is in us. Jesus is in us. But still, inside, there's a persecution battle that is going on. The inner struggle leads to external glory. So how does 11 and 12 fit in? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Basically, what this is saying, this is the external glory on display. Remember what I just said? I said the internal battle, the external struggle brings the external glory. This is the external glory on display. This is saying that God is taking hold in us, root in us. These Beatitudes, the core of Christ, The core of the Christ life, of the kingdom of heaven on earth, this broken earth, is taking hold of you. An example, let's just say someone stole something from you of great value to you, and you go to the person and you say to the person, you know, I know you took this, could you please give it back to me? And they just scoff at you and laugh at you. So you push back a little bit, say, listen, I'm really serious. You know, I don't want any trouble, but that, I really would like you to return that to me. And he gets irritated, and it escalates, and eventually he just cold cocks you and knocks you to the ground. While that's going on along the way, you, on the other hand, show mercy and peace and gentleness, even after violence. You don't fight back. You don't rage. You don't threaten him, even though it was a great loss. Whatever was taken was a great loss from you. There you see the scripture of the day. You have gained the glory and the beauty of Christ. But it doesn't just come by hearing it or even being a little stirred by it. Okay? It's a process. It's not easy. It takes time. We know that, okay? I'm not saying we're all together, but there are events in our lives that God allows, which are persecution against these glorious things, so that we, with God's grace in us, can change. It's, you can call it a test. Things happen in your life, you don't even know why they happen. You don't even know what's going on. It's like, I got a new boss. He's the biggest jerk I've ever met. Why do I have a jerk for a boss? Well, it must be fate, or it must be a coincidence, or it must be God. Stuff happening in your life, which is not easy, which you have to push against, and take God's hand, and take His grace, and say, God, may I move into life in a new way, because I can't do this on my own. But I have heard on Sunday, and I've been reading about some of these things like mercy and forgiveness and humility, and they're taking hold, and I want them, and I want that beauty, and I want to be turned right side up. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. At this point, in fact, it goes on, it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be so in ownership of Christ and Christ-likeness and the beauty of these attributes that when people persecuted you for them, there was a rejoicing in you. There was a gladness. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean, you know, you're not human. But it's like the only reason they would say that is because I'm rotating up to be a right side up person. Christ is in me. It's the easiest thing in the world to hurl an F-bomb. Anybody can do that. It's the easiest thing in the world to give somebody the finger. Flip the bird. Right? I mean, I don't know, do people practice doing those things? Like, I'm flipping it this way or this way or... It's easy. It's even easy at times to be violent. It takes no talent. It's upside down living in this world, which is upside down. And it's going on everywhere you look. If you're thinking about these things and writing sermons about them, you see it everywhere. You see congressmen and other statesmen acting like 12-year-olds without character, without some of these things which you wish you had seen, the beauty of Christ, something, some humility, some meekness. Even entire nations. There's nothing special about that. It's Upside down living is no big deal. Anybody can do it. But people of peace, and I mean the real deal now, okay? I'm not just talking about someone who heard about it, but now it's taking hold of them. People of humility and mercy, they make history. Literally. You can go to people like Gandhi or Nelson Mandela, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is literally changed by people who own these things, who are gripped by these things, who, when persecution comes, they understand, and they may not like it, but they can rejoice and say, "Bring it on." Because I know who I am and I know what I have. The world is changed by these people. Literally changed. Families. I've been a pastor for 35 years. I've seen a lot of fake change, you know, kind of light change. But I've seen families changed. I'm watching my son right now wrestle in the way that I'm talking to you in regard to being a father and a husband. Deeply changed as a man. I couldn't be more prouder. And it changes churches. This is how churches change. From the inside out. From facing the persecution and overcoming. Not going back and living by your flesh and saying, "Oh, that was nice and stirring, but really I'm just going to, you know, you just go and live by the lower part of, out of the lower part of your life like you did before." But no, it went beyond that to you came against the persecution from inside and Christ working in you and being developed in you and rooting in you. And when that happens, churches change. Churches don't change when you have a veneer, like you said, of words like, "Oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. Or I read that book, so why don't we do that?" Real church takes place when people look inside and say, "I need to change. It might be a smidget, it might be something big, I don't know, but it's deep, and I need to change inside out." It has to be inside out. Or you got a few months and you're going to go right back to where you were. I'm going to close. I just like the fact that he includes heaven. Because I think a lot of times we don't talk about heaven because everything is now, now, now. You're pretty good. If you're living in the way that I've been talking about, you're in pretty good company with the prophets before you. And your reward is in heaven. Walking with Christ is not easy, in other words. There will be persecution. You'll face it inside, you'll face it outside. We don't talk about heaven that much because everything is now, now, now. But that's not really God's economy. He tells us that heaven is our ultimate hope. He also says to watch and pray. Well, what are we supposed to watch for? Well, Jesus breaking through the clouds, through the rancid, twisted, spoiled, wrecked world, which is will come to an end. And in that end includes all the pain inside and out and a journey with God that no one can imagine. There is a goodness coming that no one, just some of you may have thought you've done something that was like nirvana, like the highest good you could ever experience. It's a million times better. None of us have a clue how good heaven is and how we will grow as people and what it's like hanging out with God, hanging out with Jesus. So he kind of just includes that in there. Because I know it's not going to be easy. You changed people, you world changers, you. There was a story of a missionary and his wife, and they were old, and these were older days, so they didn't come home every few years because they traveled on steamer boats, and it would took forever, so they would like stay overseas for like 10 or 20 years, and they came home at the end of their career, and there was, I guess those who were supposed to pick them up forgot, and so they came home to no one after all those years in Africa. And the guy was like, what's the deal here? I mean, he was mad. He was like, can't even get a ride. They found some lodging, and they went there, and they watched from the window in the same area as another boat came in, and Teddy Roosevelt was on that boat, and thousands of people came, and they had bands and a big party, and he came out, and they could see him, and everybody was slapping him on the back, and it was all glory for the president. And the wife said to the husband a little bit later, I've never seen you look so low, what's wrong? He said, oh, well, Teddy Roosevelt shows up and the whole world shows up for him. I spent 40 years serving God and I don't get one taxi driver. No one cares. No one cares. Said, I'm going to bed. Next morning she got up and she heard her husband moving around. He was whistling and in a different mood. She says, what's going on here? In a completely different place than last night. And he said, last night I remembered, I figured it out. I haven't gotten home yet. No one's saying it's easy. Blessed are the persecuted. But those who change, take hold. Not just hear about it and are stirred by it, but let God form it in you. Those people change the world, man. And they change Park Church. So, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to give one last little talk to these people and pray that what you do is a deep and abiding work that has little to do with what's painted on the outside and is fake and is human and tried to be done in human strength. But I pray for deep change, that people will face that persecution that actually comes from the inside and comes against our selfishness and our, comes against our inability to live like Christ, but instead live like this ugly, broken world. I pray, God, that the people would allow you to work and that they would submit and the change would go deep. And when there's forgiveness, it would be real reconciliation. It would be real, and leaders are humble, it would be real. When there's peace, it would be real. Change. Only through Jesus. Only through internal persecution. Only through what you do in us. We bless you in your name. Amen.